7:37 on this Monday edition of Palmetto Mornings, 38 degrees right here on WRHI-FM 100.1. Your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Ashley Lang.
Welcome in our listeners on AM 1340. Those listening on the free WRHI app, go ahead and download that app today. If you're watching us on Corporium Cable Channel 103, as well as Facebook Live, good morning to you there. Representative Heath Sessions joins us here on Palmetto Mornings with the news about what's happening at the State House, and he brings some good news about a bill that he was here talking about on Palmetto Mornings a couple of weeks ago, and looked like there has been some movement in it. It's the fentanyl trafficking bill, and we'll let say, first of all, good morning to you, Representative Sessions.
Good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Great,
good.
Sir. And we don't want to spill all the tea and take all your talking points, so we'll let you do the honors. But update us where this fentanyl trafficking bill now stands in the state of South Carolina.
Yeah. The House passed that bill last week. Was a little discouraged when it came out of committee. There was some information out there, some members of the subcommittee, judiciary, and then the full committee. So had those mandatory minimums, which were sentencing guidelines, taken out. They wanted to give the judge more discretion. We had some concerns about that. So when it went to the floor, we were able to amend that bill and got mandatory minimums put back in. Had some good debate, but we prevailed. And I think it was like a 90-something to 15 vote. So it is now moving on to the Senate. So good news.
So those mandatory minimums right now stand at what in this bill?
So there's some weight levels, mm-hmm. but, you know, in a nutshell, your first offense is going to be mandatory minimum of 10 years up to 25 years, depending on some priors, probably. Mm-hmm. Second offense is 25 years, and third offense is going to be 30 to life. So it's a pretty stiff penalty, but this stuff has been killing folks. I mean, I think drug overdose deaths for fentanyl related was around 1,100 in South Carolina last year. Mm-hmm. So it's a big killer.
Just remind people where we are now with what the years are for imprisonment for fentanyl.
Right now, we don't have a trafficking bill. So working with Kevin Brackett and Marina Hamilton out of the solicitor's office, you know, I think they've been working on this for a while. I'm a rookie legislator, so my eyes were open to this issue last year, right around election time, and I put it as a number one priority to get this thing done. Good news was our House leadership was all aboard. I mean, it was already on their agenda to do. So yeah, a lot of work was done prior to me and Brandon Guffey and some others getting on the legislature. But, you know, we had a good week last week in getting that thing passed over to the Senate.
So it now goes to the Senate. Mm-hmm. They'll take a look at the bill. If they tweak one thing on there, it eventually has to be kicked back to the House, correct?
Yes.
And
yes.
At that point, you all will either agree or not agree,
right?
That's right. If you don't agree, it's just...
If we don't concur, we will then have to take it back up and...
Okay. Kind of start...
Make whatever tweaks we need to make and then send it back over.
And then how does that work? Like, if y'all agree, yes, it's new law, does that effective immediately? How does that work?
Yeah, there'll be some conditions to it. It'll go to the governor for his signature, but okay. But I'm sure... You know, as this progresses in the Senate, there'll be a lot of us running across the lobby, you
know, right.
Making sure we get all these things ironed out.
So you do expect the South Carolina Senate to make some changes in the bill, the fentanyl bill that you all sent over from the House?
I don't know. Let's see. I mean, I like to be optimistic. They may tweak some sentencing guidelines. You know, we wanted to send a message to folks who wanted to deal in fentanyl that South Carolina is serious. They will be spending serious time in jail. And so that's the message we wanted to send. So hopefully the Senate will join us. I'm sure Wes Clymer, our senator out of York County, he's pushing for this as well. So we'll see what we can get done over there.
I was speaking with Representative Heath Sessions. He's just updating us about what's going on in the State House. Again, that fentanyl trafficking bill passed the South Carolina House. Now it's moving on to the Senate. What are some other items that you all are working on there at the State House? Maybe what's coming down the pipeline this week?
This week, I know Wednesday we're going to spend a lot of time with the judges. We'll be electing them, Supreme Court, Appeals Court. There's some administrative law judges, family court. So, we'll be spending some time doing that. We also have an education bill that'll be before us. That's the one that's the, you know, it's making sure that CRT is not being taught in our schools. I'm not sure that was a pervasive thing here in South Carolina. There may have been a few instances, but this is just, you know, making sure that's in black and white, that folks know there's clear expectations that, you know, we don't want any of that in our schools. Also, there's included in that bill, there's some things regarding appropriate books in libraries, making sure, you know, again, that we're setting clear expectations, that there's no gray area for a teacher who may bring an agenda in teaching mm-hmm. our kids. That and then also there's accountability, and then a way for parents to get some recourse mm-hmm. if their kid comes back saying, "Hey, they're learning this, that, and the other," that strays off the curriculum. There is an avenue now where parents can go and seek recourse mm-hmm. with the school district. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, COVID put a light on all this stuff. And there was no clear paths to where parents could seek recourse where a teacher was teaching maybe some things that they didn't approve of.
So currently in South Carolina, that there's not a bill or a law on the books or something along those lines. This would, to your point, just clear up any kind of language and confusion should it come down the pipeline.
Right. Okay. I think there's things in agency guidelines and things of that nature. I think we just wanted to be clear, you know, that there are paths where parents can, you know, like I said, redress some things if their kid's coming back getting taught some things. And then just making sure it's transparent, you know. So the curriculum that our kids are receiving in schools, you know, is published, those types of things, to where we're aware as
parents.
And
I think it's just holding people accountable, districts accountable, and teachers accountable.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. Representative Sessions, going back real quick to the judges, I know during McMaster's inauguration speech, he wanted that process to be more wide open for residents of South Carolina to follow along and see who is being elected
right.
to sit, you know, in that judge's chair. Of course, the big conversation is happening nationally. I don't know if it's happening so much here, is that law enforcement is saying we're doing our part. We're arresting the bad people. We kick it over to the court system, and then that's where the ball is dropped. So does this bill open that process up a little bit more with these judges, or is this still just
no
checks and balances?
We're simply just voting on judges
okay.
this week.
Oh, okay.
What you're referring to is how we select those judges. Mm-hmm. Currently, we have a committee called it's the JMSC, or the Judicial Merit Selection Committee. It's made up of legislators, and there are some concerns about how that selection process is done. Again, we talked about the education bill that we're hearing this week on the House floor. It stresses transparency. Again, that's something that you don't get from the JMSC as far as those are closed meetings. It's more like executive session, so to speak. I mean, I do think there's somewhat transparency, but what the governor suggested in his State of the State was more of a federal system where he appoints and then the Senate would confirm. Mm. So something along those lines. There's also pre-filed legislation that replaces the JMSC just with the governor. Mm. So in effect, it would make the governor, you know, that person, the executive branch would appoint judges. And then that person would then be approved by the Senate or the House. So there's a couple of different bills out there right now. Hopefully we can address that issue at some point. I know the House is going to want to be involved. I think the governor suggested he appoint and the Senate confirm, which is the federal system. I'm sure as a House member, I would like some input.
Yeah.
But maybe not a controlling interest where it's not transparent to folks who are voting for legislators. There's also that conflict. You know, a lot of the JMSC is made up of attorneys and lawyers who that's their full-time job, and then their side hustle is the elected official thing. You know, trying to remove that conflict of interest.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's an apparent conflict when – so, for instance, my day job, I clean up hurricanes, right? The state would not appoint me when a hurricane comes through. Hey, Heath, you tell us who goes and cleans up Dorchester County. You tell us who goes and cleans up Horry County, right? There's an apparent conflict. So trying to get that message to some of my colleagues, some agree, right? Some
sure.
agree. They don't
yeah.
get that perception. But there are some who say, no, we can do both. And again, they probably can, but there are. It's the appearance, right? It's that perception that there may be what some have called some shady dealings going on.
Conflict of interest.
Right. Yeah. That's it. Very so true. It's just a prudent point that we should remove that conflict.
And, of course, the other big story in South Carolina is the balloon.
Have you already talked about that?
Yes, just a little bit.
So will that be something that y'all even discuss? There's nothing that we can do as a state, right?
I mean, right.
But there's nothing.
Nope. I had a few neighbors in the backyards with the binoculars and, you know, the long barrel rifle. No, I'm just kidding.
We were joking. I don't know how other states handled it, but I thought in South Carolina it was pretty funny that most law enforcement agencies had to remind people on their social media channels, don't shoot it.
Yeah.
In South Carolina, we love our firearms and we like to shoot things that we might perceive as a threat, whether or not that is, that's for the higher ups to decide. But
yeah.
But there's nothing as a law that we can do, lawmakers can do for this.
Not on a state level. I mean, there's a lot of questions, right?
Sure.
I mean, how did this occur? So I'm sure that hopefully we get some answers on a federal level.
Your company's
level.
Not in the balloon cleanup business.
No. No, not at all.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. All right. Well, Representative Heath Sessions, great update. Thank you so much from what's happening in Columbia. We'll continue to follow this fentanyl trafficking bill, to your point, and Marina Hamilton, when she came on here, you know, of the days where kids or young people or anybody would experiment with drugs, that experiment is now do or die for anyone with fentanyl. It's not a second chance or I didn't like it, I'm not going to do it again type thing. It is
correct.
One and done. And so the fact that we had nothing on the books before and now we've got some movement, it looks like it's moving in the right direction. So we appreciate your leadership, Representative Guffey, and so many more as well.